There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another World Cup episode of Luke's English Podcast. In this one, I'm going to read out more comments from listeners about Brazil 2014 from the World Cup comments thread number 2 on the teacherluke.co.uk discussion forum. These are all comments which have been sent in by listeners from around the world. World Cup 2014 is still in full swing, with plenty of surprises, knockouts, and some biting as well. All the comments that I'm going to read out in this episode were posted by lepers, that's listeners to Luke's English Podcast, on the discussion forum on teacherluke.co.uk. I've corrected them, so I've corrected any mistakes, and you can read all of the corrected versions on the webpage for this episode. I'm now going to read out the comments that you sent in as a way of giving everybody a voice and an opportunity to contribute thoughts, feelings, and opinions to another global episode of Luke's English Podcast. So let's get started, shall we? Yes, good idea. Okay. By the way, if you're not a football fan, don't worry. Normal podcasting will continue. In fact, this is a very fruitful time for Luke's English Podcast at the moment, as I have actually managed to record quite a lot of episodes recently, not just ones about the World Cup, but ones about other subjects too. You'll notice that I've uploaded a series on Culture Shock lately, and I've got some more episodes up my sleeve too, and they will be uploaded soon. So it's not just football, football, football. In fact, you'll see that loads of episodes are being uploaded onto teacherluke.co.uk and onto the Audioboo page recently. I realise that I might be sort of swamping you with episodes of Luke's English Podcast, but that's fine, because the idea is that you don't have to listen to them all immediately. You can just kind of, you know, come back to them, can't you? You can just save them up. And if you're not listening to them right now, just keep them there on the iPod or the MP3 player or the laptop or whatever, the iPhone, the Samsung, whatever you're using. Just, you know, you can keep them there and come back to them later. The Culture Shock episodes, for example, they don't have to be listened to now. I think the World Cup ones, if you're into football, should be listened to sort of fairly quickly. Because so many things change in the World Cup and it's quite current, it's quite time specific. But most of the other episodes, I think, you should be able to listen to at any point. So don't feel pressured to listen to them all in one go. Although I know that some of you out there like to binge on Luke's English Podcast. You're completely addicted to it. And so any new episode is welcome, and you can then just get your teeth into it, as it were. We'll be talking about getting your teeth into things a bit later on in this episode. So, yes. But again, if you're not into football, sorry. But hopefully I'm making up for it by providing you with lots of other things. Okay, good. Now, let's get started with the comments from the World Cup 2014 forum thread number 2. This thread actually began on the 20th of June and closed on the 30th of June. And all of the things that you're going to hear about, they all happened in that period. So, all of these things happened in that period. England had already been knocked out. Tragic. I'm okay. I'm getting over it. Italy were beaten by Costa Rica and Uruguay and were also knocked out. Sorry, Italy. Luis Suarez became the most talked about player of the tournament after biting Italian player Giorgio Chiellini. He actually bit him. Right, he bit him like he's some sort of vampire or something. France stuffed Switzerland 5-2, but both teams went through to the second round. Algeria beat the Korean Republic 4-2, and all the Algerians in Paris just went mental. They were all, you know, partying on the Champs-Élysées and making lots of noise. It was amazing. all of these teams were knocked out in the group stages. Okay, all of the teams I'm about to mention were knocked out in the first round, basically, the group stage. That's England, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Croatia, Cameroon, Australia, the Ivory Coast, Japan, Ecuador, Honduras, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Iran, Portugal, I've mentioned them already, Ghana, Russia, and the Korean Republic. So basically, if you're in one of those, if you're from one of those countries, welcome to the club, okay? Welcome to the losers' club, okay? You're sitting at the losers' table. It's a sad, depressing place to be. But ultimately, you know, you're in good company. England, Italy, Portugal, Spain, and lots of other countries, we can at least sort of make each other feel comfortable in some way. I don't know. But there are still plenty of teams that are still in the competition. In the second round, though, we've said goodbye to a few other nations. Chile, Uruguay, Nigeria and Algeria, Mexico and Greece. Goodbye to those countries too. So that leaves us with these teams left. France and Germany. They're going to play each other next week. Is it next week? Later on this week. It's Friday. It's Friday, isn't it? France versus Germany. That's going to be a big game. Brazil versus Colombia. They're still both in the competition. Netherlands versus Costa Rica. Argentina, Switzerland, Belgium and USA. They're all still in. So there's plenty to play for. As I have said before, things are moving pretty quickly in the World Cup. And when you listen to this, the situation might be completely different. Nevertheless, there's a bit of context for you, okay? So, comments. Here's the post I left at the beginning of the thread inviting people to take part. And this is what I said. Hi, everyone. I've already recorded an episode in which I read out your comments about the World Cup from this forum. I'd like to record another one later in the competition, perhaps next week at the end of the group stage or just before the quarterfinals. So please leave more comments that you would like me to read out on the podcast. Here are some questions for you to consider. At this stage, which teams do you think will be in the final? Which team do you think will win? What is your favourite moment of the World Cup so far, in your opinion? Number 4, who is the star player of this World Cup, in your opinion? 5, which country are you from and which country are you supporting? How is their performance so far? Number 6, generally, what do you think of the World Cup 2014? As before, I will correct your comments before reading them out on the podcast. You don't have to give your name. You can leave anonymous comments if you prefer, but do tell me where you come from. I reserve the right to not read out any comments for any reason. So, get writing. Let's make another episode of Luke's English Podcast together. And I received a number of responses, something in the region of 25 responses to this one. Okay, so let's get started. We begin with Mohammed K. And Mohammed K says, Germany, the Netherlands, Italy. One of these three teams will be in the final match, I guess. Well, not Italy, Mohammed. They're out. First round. Yeah, that's right. One fatality in that list already. But Germany and the Netherlands are still in. Which team do I support? He says, I like Argentina, Brazil and Uruguay. Well, again, Uruguay are out. But you didn't know that, Mohammed. You didn't know that at the time. I like the Latin American playing style. And I also like the English playing style, the long ball style. I feel sad that they lost last night, and I hope they go to the next stage. The star player? I think it's Neymar from Brazil. Thank you, Teacher Luke. You're welcome. Mohammed from Saudi Arabia. Hope to see you in Saudi Arabia one day. Wow, that would be nice. Saudi Arabia. Never been there, but interesting country. I know that lots of people are learning English there. I've met lots of Saudis. Very nice people. They shared coffee with me. Arabic coffee, which is not like normal coffee. It's kind of sort of herbal and nice. It's delicious. It's very refreshing. I always wondered how much caffeine was in Arabic coffee. And all the Arabic students I had were like, oh, no, there's no caffeine. And I didn't think it's true. I think it's loaded with caffeine. But what do I know? Right. Guillaume S., says, hi Luke. To be honest, I don't like football at all. But how can you avoid it during the World Cup? There is no way. It's true, isn't it? It's true. Even on Luke's English Podcast, I'm afraid. I decided to be interested in football at least during the World Cup because that's important. It's important to know some news if you want to make small talk with people around you. Very good point, Gideon. Here are my answers to your questions. Number one, which teams do you think will be in the final? I would say Switzerland and England. What? England has left? Don't worry, Switzerland will follow them very soon. Honestly, I don't know who can be in the final. Okay, well, it's not going to be England, that's for sure. Switzerland, well, I mean, they've still got a chance. Still got a chance, haven't they? Who are they playing against? Yeah, you're playing against Argentina. I think that's today, at 1 o'clock. In fact, the game has just kicked off as I'm recording this. So, you still got a chance to be in Switzerland, but, I don't know. Argentina are a very strong team. So, I don't fancy your chances, to be honest. He says, honestly, I don't know who can be in the final. Well, it's pretty, you know, it's... we've got like two sides, okay? Imagine two sides. I'm looking at FIFA.com. I'm looking at the match summary of the second stage. And we've got kind of two sides, which are... this is the second round, and these teams will play against each other, and ultimately we could predict who's going to be in the final. So we've got Brazil versus Colombia on one side, and France versus Germany on that same side. So the winner of those two teams will play each other in one of the semi-finals. So it's probably going to be Brazil. Sorry, Colombia. I mean, Colombia are great. I'm very impressed by them. They're a strong team. It's not going to be easy for Brazil by any means. I think they could face a very tough game against Colombia. But I have to say, I think Brazil are the favourites. So let's say it's Brazil that go through in that game. And then we've got France versus Germany. Now, that's a very good game. That promises to be a very dramatic and even match. France and Germany? I mean, everyone seems to suggest that Germany... Everyone seems to think Germany is one of the big favourites. No one's talking about France, probably because of their performance at the last World Cup, which was dismal. But they're doing very well this time. And if they play as a team in the way that they've been playing this World Cup, if they continue to use that team spirit, they could do well. So it's not going to be easy for Germany. But I think Germany have the edge in terms of their performance and the expectations that they have on their shoulders. So I think it's probably going to be Germany. Although leave France out of the potential teams. So, but let's just say Germany versus Brazil. Okay, that's going to be one hell of a semi-final. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that it's Brazil playing at home in their own country. The conditions suit them, the weather conditions. They will have a lot of support in the stadium. I mean, you know, most of the people in the stadium will be supporting Brazil, I expect, in that game. We'll come to the issue of, the popularity of the Germans later on in this episode. But let's imagine we've got Brazil versus Germany in a semi-final and Brazil win. So it's Brazil in the final on one side. Then on the other side, we have the Netherlands versus Costa Rica. That's a quarter-final match. I think we all expect the Netherlands to win. They've got a disadvantage with the climate, but let's just say the Netherlands go through in that game. Then we've got the rest is undecided. Argentina-Switzerland is a second round game. We all think Argentina are going to win that. So let's put Argentina in that quarterfinal. And then we've got Belgium-USA in the second round. That's happening later on today at 5 o'clock. Let's say Belgium win that. Okay, I'm not saying the USA are rubbish, they're not, but Belgium are the dark horse team in this competition, as we've already established. So Belgium are probably going to win that. Argentina versus Belgium in a quarter final. Well, it's Argentina, isn't it? Sorry, Belgium, but if I'm going to put money on it, which I'm not, I would say Argentina at that point, all right? So then we've got Netherlands versus Argentina in a semi-final. Wow, what a game that's going to be. That's going to be brilliant, isn't it? Netherlands versus Argentina. This is just a prediction. Anything can happen. But again, I think because of the conditions, the climate, that's going to favour Argentina, isn't it? You know, they're playing in weather conditions that they're used to. Whereas the Netherlands, the Dutch, they're going to find it very hard to play at their full capacity in the hot, humid conditions. So let's say that Argentina win that one. So it could be Brazil versus Argentina in the final. And at that point, it's anyone's guess. If Lionel Messi plays his best, it could be Argentina. But I wonder if they've got the strength in depth in the whole team that they require to beat Brazil at home in this World Cup final. It's probably going to be Brazil. Okay, there's my prediction. It's Brazil. I mean, I don't think that Brazil have played to their best strength yet. And of course, anything can happen. It's the World Cup. But could be Argentina, Brazil. And I fancy Brazil in that game. So there you go, Guillaume. There's my prediction, which will probably be proven completely wrong as the competition continues. Okay, question two was, which team do you think will win? And he says, Luke's English Podcast will win. Well, of course it will win. We're not actually in the World Cup, but if we were in the World Cup, then I think we would win it. I mean, I'm not a professional footballer, but I think the rest of the world, the whole world surely would rally behind Luke's English Podcast. It would be just me on the pitch. You know, I'd be having to perform every role on the pitch. I'd be running around. I'd also have to deal with the microphone and a laptop and everything. It would be difficult, but ultimately I'd triumph. I'd do an overhead kick. I'd just do loads of overhead kicks and I'd score with them all. It'd be like FIFA. You know, it would be like playing FIFA, but with all the cheat codes. That's how I'd do it. I'd hack into the World Cup and use lots of cheat codes and just, you know, work out how to score from any place on the pitch using an overhead kick. That's how I'd do it. Okay. Number three, what's your favourite moment of the World Cup so far, in your opinion? And he says, my favourite moments are when everybody spent a good time watching a game wherever they come from. That's a very nice thing to say. What a nice sentiment. And he says, by the way, is it favourite, F-A-V-O-R-I-T-E, or favourite, F-A-V-O-U-R-I-T-E? What's the right spelling? Well, in America, they spell it with O, and in the UK, we spell it O-U. So what's the right spelling? Well, it's O-U, isn't it? I'm just joking, really. In America, they just spell it without the U. In the UK, we spell it with the U. So it's your choice. You can go American or British. Up to you, basically. Up to you if you use the U. All right, is that clear? It's like the word colour. Same thing in America. C-O-L-O-R. Which to me looks like color. And in the UK, colour. C-O-L-O-U-R. Which is colour as well. All right, it's two different spellings. We like to make it difficult for everyone in the world. The Americans and the Brits, we had a meeting sometime after World War II. And the Americans were like, okay, Britain, what are we going to do about this language? It's too easy at the moment. We need to make things a little more difficult. And the Brits were like, yes, that's a very good idea, America. How about we introduce a number of different spelling changes just to screw with everyone's heads? Good work, Britain. Get to it. And then that's what happened. Obviously, that's not what happened. That's just a version. A stupid version of what actually happened. Different spelling, Gideon. That's all. It's British and American English. The Brits spell it O-U-R. Okay? So it's up to you. You can choose. Number five. Which country are you from or supporting? How's their performance so far? And he says, I'm from Switzerland, and we will know this evening if they can continue in the competition or not. Well, you did. But now, when you're listening to this episode, you already know the result, and that's amazing. Well, the result was that you went through, Gideon, so congratulations. You must be very pleased, must be very proud of your Swiss team. Number six, generally, what do you think of World Cup 2014? And he says, this is the first time that I'm interested in football, because Switzerland is playing, and because of you, Luke Thompson. Oh, well, you know, I do my best. I didn't realise I'd become an ambassador for international football. Maybe FIFA should send me a donation. I'm sure they won't. And he says, as long as I can learn something in English with you, that's fine. Even about football. So thank you so much, Luke. Well done. You won. Well, I won? I won! Apparently I won. I don't know what I won. I just won. Maybe I won at life. I wonder what my prize is. Oh, it's nothing. Okay. Great. Cheers. Thanks, Guillaume. Thanks for your comment. Hiroshi from Japan says, I'm sorry, but England got the same plane ticket with Spain. Thanks for reminding me, Hiroshi. Yeah, we got the same plane ticket with Spain. Yeah, it's sad, isn't it? It really is. But Hiroshi, So did you, mate. The Japanese are going home as well. Sorry to remind you. Welcome to the club. It's a good club. Nothing wrong with being in this club. Join the club. Edison says, "Hi, Luke. I just want to say I'm so sorry about England's fate against Uruguay." Well, that's just the way football is. Thanks, Edison. Thanks for reminding me again. I thought I'd just got over it, but it still hurts. First question. I think Germany, Argentina, Colombia or the Netherlands could be fighting for the champions title. I think you're right. Third question. Probably two great moments. The first one, when Geoffrey Seredier... No, that's Geoffroy Seredier from Ivory Coast cried while singing his country's anthem. Yeah, that was really sort of sweet, touching moment. This was one of the players from the Ivory Coast called Geoffroy Seredier. And during his national anthem, he cried. He got so emotional. He started crying. The tears were running down his face. He couldn't contain his emotion. Wow, what a passionate moment. Yeah. And he said, "Personally, I really love the community spirit at competitions by sharing with people from all over the world." Fifth question. I'm from Colombia and I'm cheering and shouting for my team from Miami, Florida. I think they're going to write a new chapter in South America's soccer history. Well, there's a, you know, you've got every chance. Sixth question. What do you think of the World Cup so far? He says, "Just awesome. Even though there is some social business to deal with. I love Brazilian people. Thank you so much, Luke. Cheers. P.S. Don't forget that getting inebriated experiment while recording." Ha 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 ha. Oh yeah, I'd forgotten about that, to be honest. Did I promise on the podcast that I would do a kind of drinking experiment where I would record an episode of Luke's English podcast while slowly getting more and more drunk? I may have said that. I don't think that's legally binding. I don't think I'm legally obliged to do that now. I might do one day. I might just have a bottle of wine or a bottle of whiskey or something and just slowly drink it. And then at the beginning, I'll be like, "Hello, welcome to Luke's English podcast. I'm all sharp because I'm completely sober." And then by the end of the podcast, I'll be like, "So you've been listening to, what's the name of the podcast again? You've been listening to..." What? You know, that's probably what would happen. I might do that, Edison. I might do that. Alexander says, "Hi, how are you doing? Does it still hurt?" Yes, it does. It does, Alexander. It does. "I always thought that Roy Hodgson is the worst England team manager ever. He broke everything at Liverpool FC before he became coach of the Three Lions." Yeah, he hasn't really proven himself, has he, to be honest, Alexander? I reckon that the FA wanted to employ Harry Redknapp. I think that Harry Redknapp would have been a slightly better choice. But he's, you know, a little bit of a controversial character with some sort of financial allegations of fraud and things. So maybe the FA couldn't employ him. Anyway, don't even try to understand why and how. It's ridiculous and illogical. But I am a Ukrainian guy who's been living in Denmark for 3 years, a Liverpool FC fan, and a fan of Holland, Netherlands. It's complicated, of course. If Holland play with Ukraine, I will be on my native country's side. The Ukrainian team, as you know, was in the same group as England, draws 1-1 and 0-0, and finished in second place. We lost in a playoff against France, won the first game 2-0, lost the second to France 0-3. Unfortunately, our players underestimated the contender, and they thought that they were already in Brazil after the first game. So, yeah, that's why Ukraine didn't get through. Who is the star player of this World Cup, in your opinion? He said, "Luis Suarez. Maybe. I don't know. Actually, it could be anyone. Costa Rica's players have shown us that everything is possible. Even nobody expected that result in the group of death." Yeah, it's true. It's been, you know, no one predicted that Costa Rica would go through. "Come on, Holland," he says. "I've been supporting you from my childhood. What, me? No, Holland, of course. Holland has one huge problem as England with penalties. They smash all contenders in the group stage, but then become tired and lose in knockout stages. I hope they don't. But if they lose, I'll support any European team except Portugal. I hate divers. And Russia, because it's obvious I'm from Europe. All right, then. So, yeah, you said that the Netherlands tend to use up all their energy in the first round, and then when it gets to the knockout stages, they're exhausted. Well, that you may have a point there, because the Netherlands did put in some, you know, very dynamic performances in the first group stage, and they seemed to sort of struggle a bit against, was it Mexico? Yeah, it was, wasn't it? They sort of, it wasn't an easy victory by any means. In fact, I feel a bit disappointed by the Netherlands a little bit with their victory against Mexico. One reason is because I liked the Mexico team, especially their goalkeeper, who was brilliant. But the Netherlands, they got a penalty. Iron Robin went down in the penalty box, but it was a dive, wasn't it? It was a blatant dive, very cynical, a cynical dive. He just went down. It wasn't, I don't think it was that rough a tackle. I think he dived and they won a penalty and they won the game. They knocked out Mexico. So it's a slightly hollow victory, in my opinion. But the Netherlands, still a great team, and they've never won the World Cup. So let's see what they can do. Generally, what do you think of World Cup 2014, Alexander? And he says, I feel the Brazilian financial pain because we had Euro 2012 in Ukraine, and it seems that only UEFA and the corrupt government won. I understand that it's an allegation, but anyway, it's the same shit, in my opinion. The same shit, in my opinion, was in the Winter Olympic Games in 2014 in Russia. The Russian government spent about $51 billion compared to about $3 billion in Vancouver 2010 in the previous games. Were those games 17 times better? I don't know. Thanks for your attention, Alexander from Ukraine and Denmark. Right, next is Aritz. Aritz. Hi, Luke. First of all, I'm sorry about England. Thanks, Aritz. Thanks for that. Thanks. Honestly, I think you deserve better results. You have an interesting young team for the next years, though. Yeah, it's true. Maybe next time. Okay. Pull yourself together. Right. Number one, which teams do you think will be in the final? According to what we've seen so far, Germany, Holland, France, Argentina, Brazil should be at least in the semis. Then sometimes it's a bit of luck. Let's say Germany and Argentina. A revenge of the Italy 90 would be great. Would be, wouldn't it? Would be. Number two, which team do you think will win? If I had to bet money, I would say Germany. I want Argentina to win, though. Number three, what's your favourite moment of the World Cup so far, in your opinion? It's hard to say in just one moment. I would say it's been a really interesting championship with loads of goals, great matches, new teams coming out and going through to the next round like Costa Rica or Colombia. Yeah, it is exciting. That's one of the sort of the good things about this World Cup, isn't it? That some sort of lesser teams have managed to go through to the knockout stages. It's always pleasing when that happens. Obviously, we all like to see the big teams in the knockout stages, but it's also good to see some smaller teams, the minnows, as they might be called. Minnows are like little fish, okay? Minnows are sort of little fish, so sometimes you talk about smaller teams as minnows, all right? So it could be good to see some minnows going through to the knockout stages. We think of teams like Costa Rica. Colombia are still in there. Colombia are a bit of a dark horse team, you might say. Although, maybe they're not the dark horses anymore because they, one of their teams scored a cracking goal a few days ago. Who is the star player of this World Cup, in your opinion? He says, before Argentina and Germany play their second matches, I think Benzema is stunning so far. Benzema plays for France. Number five, which country are you from or supporting, and how's their performance so far? He says, I'm Spanish, supporting Argentina. The first match was not as good as we expected, but with Messi there, everything is possible. Number six, generally, what do you think of World Cup 2014? He said, it's my first World Cup abroad. I'm living in London, and it's been a good experience. I've got free time in the evenings to watch them every day, either at home or having good ales in the pub, so that's great. The World Cup always reminds me of my childhood somehow, so I'm enjoying it a lot. Ah, good. And he also includes, bye. P.S. Can I correct a little mistake you made saying my name in the last podcast? Certainly, of course you can. He says, well, and in some others as well. Okay, so I've mentioned your name a few times and I've got it wrong every time, it seems. Sorry about that. He says, in my name, the I comes before the T, so it's Aritz instead of Artis, but never mind. Sorry about that, Aritz. Sorry about that. I don't know why I was calling you Artis. Maybe it's, you know, because I respect artists. I respect artists. And I respect you, so I was calling you Artis. See what I did? See what I did there? But it's wrong. No, I'm sorry, it's Aritz. Okay? Is that right? Is it Aritz or is it Aritz? The mystery continues, but I think I'm getting closer to the solution here. I think I'm going to call you Aritz. Okay? Right. Good. Right. Nicholas. And this is another pronunciation issue, which we'll see in a minute. Nicholas says, hi, my name's Nicholas from Argentina. I support my national team, of course. But I think the finalists will be between Germany and the Netherlands, and the Germans will win their fourth cup. The best player in the competition so far is Luis Suarez from Uruguay. Sorry, Luke. As I said before, I support Argentina, as I'm from that country. How's our performance so far? Well, at least we won. Messi is amazing, but I'm a little worried about the rest of the team. For me, this World Cup is spectacular. I'm particularly happy because, in general, Latin American teams are doing great in this competition. I'm talking about Colombia, Ecuador, Chile, Costa Rica. I love to watch how Latin American football is becoming more and more competitive. By the way, you can pronounce my name as Nicholas. The proper pronunciation in Spanish is Nick All Ass. Nick All Ass. Really? But as you can imagine, probably it's not a good idea to pronounce it in the Spanish way because of the last syllable. Yeah. Nick All Ass. Nick All Ass. Really? Really? How much ass should I nick? All of it. Nick All Ass. Really? What should I do with the ass? Nick it. Okay. What should I be nicking? Ass. How much? All of it. Nick all ass. Okay. I think you get the idea why that might be complicated in English. Nicolas. I think that's probably how you'd say it. But I would say Nicholas. I'm obviously making fun of the name here with your permission, because you started it, Nicholas, by suggesting that it might be troublesome to pronounce it in the Spanish way because of the last syllable. Okay, so don't blame me for sort of making fun of your name. You started it. And it's all in good nature anyway, isn't it? Nicholas or Nicolas. Okay, fine. I'm going to continue calling you Nicholas. Good, right. That's what I would call... If I had a friend in England called Nicholas, I would call him Nicholas, because in England we say Nicholas. Is that clear? Okay. Angel. Now, here's another bit of pronunciation. Angel. Is this just an angel? Like an angel from heaven has decided to comment on Luke's English podcast? Maybe I'm just pronouncing the name wrong. We'll find out in a minute. Hi, Luke. I've been listening to your podcast for 3 months because I'm going to take a test called BULATS. That's the Business Language Testing Service, by the way. Anyway, thank you for doing this. Let's talk about the World Cup. I'm Mexican, and obviously I support my country, of course. I feel sorry for England. I know how it feels. All right, yeah. Luke, well, you do now, Angel, because Mexico are out too, aren't they? Join the club. Luke, do you think the weather affects the European countries in this competition? I think it's probably according to the results of the European players. And it seems the South American players are taking advantage of the situation. We can all see that, right? I think so, Angel. I think so. I think that the weather is affecting the performance of the European teams. That's my excuse anyway. That's obviously why England went out. If they were playing it in freezing cold rain, obviously we would be the champions. But in this ridiculous warm weather, We don't have a hope in hell, do we? No, I'm being frivolous there. I think that I do think the climate has a big impact, though, on teams like the Germany and the Netherlands. They must be struggling to keep the energy up, and you know, other European teams who are not used to operating in those conditions. It must be incredibly hard. We know already, don't we, that nations that play games in their own continent have a big advantage. Climate probably has a lot to do with that. So I wouldn't be surprised if the South American teams sort of succeeded in this competition. A lot of that might be to do with the climate. That's just the nature of the World Cup, isn't it? So I can't wait to see the Netherlands play against a South American country. Well, they did, didn't they? They played against Chile. Was it Chile? It was Chile, wasn't it? Let me just have a quick look. Well, they played Mexico. That's it. They played against Mexico, and they were not completely convincing. They seemed to struggle a bit. So, yeah, maybe you've got the point here. And in summary, I think the weather is one of the main factors in this World Cup. Thank you for reading this, and viva Mexico! Sorry for my English. It's all right. P.S. My name can be pronounced like this. Angel Chedbeno. Okay. Angel. I was saying angel, but it's actually pronounced Angel. Okay. Thanks, Angel. Interesting that I would pronounce it angel, like an angel from heaven, and you pronounce it Angel, with the word hell in there, from hell. Where are you from? Heaven or hell? I think you're from Earth, aren't you? I think so. So anyway, Angel, 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 whatever your name is, thanks very much for your comments. It's lovely to read from someone in Mexico, and I'm very sorry about the results. I think your goalkeeper is brilliant, okay? I'd like to award him a special Luke's English Podcast medal, a trophy for being one of the great goalkeepers of the World Cup. And I have a particular fondness for the goalkeepers, because I used to be a goalkeeper, all right? I used to play in goal. I was actually pretty good. I used to play in this football club, and they nicknamed me The Barrier. That's right. They called me The Barrier, because I was like a barrier. You couldn't score past me. I was the barrier, okay? I would just throw myself in front of the ball, and I actually loved annoying other footballers. You know, the strikers, the goal scorers, they're so sort of pleased with themselves, like, yeah, I'm a goal scorer, I'm the best. You know, they're the most arrogant members of the team, the goal scorers. I loved denying these guys the opportunity to score goals. They would get so frustrated. They'd try and score past me, and I'd, you know, block it with my legs or do a diving save, tip the ball round the post. So, yes, yeah, goal scorers. Sometimes you don't get the glory. I used to enjoy that. I used to play for the local Sunday League football team in the village where I used to live. Okay, this is in a little village called Chadwick End in the middle of nowhere. And every Sunday in England, you have Sunday League. It's like amateur league football. And I played in the Chadwick End Sunday League team. And this was the most sort of laughable team that you've ever seen. They were all, you know, grown men. I was 15 years old, right? I was just 15, but I happened to be a pretty athletic goalkeeper. All of the guys in the team, they all used to drink in the local pub. And they were all sort of middle-aged men, pretty much. And they were pretty ridiculous. I mean, they would all be hungover on Sunday morning. Some of them would even smoke on the pitch. And it was just crazy. The Sunday League was often pretty rough, you know, these sort of tough guys, these tough English blokes fighting it out on a Sunday morning on the football pitch. And then me, the 15-year-old kid in goal, and I, our team was rubbish. We were awful. We were one of the worst teams in the league. But I used to get lots of action, you know, because our defence was pretty poor. I mean, we had some good players when they had their mind fixed on the game, they were capable, but often the attacking team would break through the defence and it would just be me and some bloke. And so I used to get lots of action. I used to save loads and loads of goals. I mean, I used to you know, I did loads of dramatic saves, but naturally I also let lots and lots of goals in. And it was pretty embarrassing, but exciting, you know, because I'd get so much action that I'd be doing lots of saves and obviously I'd concede lots of goals too. So I like the goalkeepers, and I thought the Mexican goalkeeper was particularly impressive. I'm sorry he's out with the rest of his team. Next, Giovanni. Giovanni, I think you're probably from Italy. Giovanni. Hi, Luke, and thanks a lot for your website. Website. That's my mistake. Giovanni wrote that correctly. I just screwed it up for some reason. I'll start again. Giovanni. Hello, Giovanni. Hi, Luke, and thanks a lot for your website. I found it some weeks ago, browsing on the internet, and now I'm completely addicted. Good, good, good. There are lots of similar websites offering podcasts in English, but the problem is that most of them are in American English, and generally they treat learners like babies. I mean, they speak with a completely unnatural voice, the same kind of voice that we have when we talk with our babies. You mean sort of like, coo, coo, coo. Maybe not like that, but you know what I mean. You sound very natural, like a real friend, and that's why I think you're unique. Oh, thanks. About football, I'm Italian, so I support Italy, of course. You know, after Brazil, 5 times world champion, we are the most awarded team in the world. We won the world championship 4 times. Well, you ain't gonna win this time, Giovanni. However, this time I think we should apologise. In fact, because of us, England was damaged twice. The first, because of our victory, even though in that circumstance you played well, and probably you didn't deserve the defeat. The second, because of our pathetic defeat in the match against Costa Rica that had, as direct consequence, your elimination from the World Cup. Yeah, thanks a lot for that, Italy. Now we're waiting for the next match on next Tuesday. Italy versus Uruguay. That's enough a draw to go ahead and kick back home against Uruguay. Can't wait. Bye, and Forza Italia! Well, Giovanni, you know now that, unfortunately, you didn't make it. You were beaten by Uruguay. What a shock. And so Italy ended up going home too. The group of death, that was one hell of a group. Everyone expected Italy to top it. They got knocked out, and so did England. I mean, I'd love to say, Giovanni, that it's all Italy's fault that England didn't get through. That would be nice, but it's not true, is it? Because, you know, I think England have only got themselves to blame, to be honest. Sorry, Italy. Sorry about that. Next time. You've got 4 already. You didn't need another one, did you? Really? Well, it's not a question of needing it, is it? It's a question of wanting it. Raphael says, which teams do you think will be in the final? He says, Brazil and Argentina. I think you might be right. If I had to bet real money on that, maybe I'd go for Germany. But so far, this World Cup has not been the most logical one. Number 2, which team do you think will win? Brazil, I hope. What's your favourite moment of the World Cup so far, in your opinion? And he says, the second Suarez goal against England. Sorry, Luke, but that was beautiful. It was pretty impressive, wasn't it, Raphael? I mean, this is the second goal that Suarez scored for Uruguay against England in their game. He just hammered it into the back of the net. I mean, he absolutely destroyed that goal. It was a really great finish. He just assassinated England, didn't he? Number 5, he assassinated England, and then he may have assassinated his own career as well against Italy, but we'll find out about that in a minute. Number 4, who is the star player of the World Cup in your opinion? He says, if Brazil managed to win, probably Neymar. Number 5, which country are you from or supporting, and how's their performance so far? He says, Brazil. Not as good as it could be, but fair enough. No big mistakes, good defence. The attack has been a bit disappointing so far. Alright. Yeah, they haven't scored as many goals as they could have done. Generally, what do you think of the World Cup 2014? He says, we overspend on those huge arenas. We could be hosting a World Cup as good as it's been so far without building new stadiums, but just renovating our existing ones. I wonder how FIFA can be so influential over national decisions like that. Most of our mobility infrastructure plans are delayed or will not be made at all. Yeah, it is pretty suspicious you know, all the money that's gone in, was it necessary to build those big stadiums? Couldn't they have just renovated the others? Couldn't it be possible for FIFA to, you know, more directly aid host nations? I've been through this stuff already about FIFA. Apart from that, as long as football and the atmosphere are the most important things, this is probably one of the best World Cups ever so far. Okay, Vibehav. I hope that's the right way to say your name. He says, "Hi Luke, I'm Vibehav from India." Hello Vibehav. It's great to have a listener from India. How are you? Where are the Indian team? What's happening in India with football? You've got so many people. Surely you could get 11 men together. I don't know what happened to the Indian football team. They haven't been in the World Cup for a long time. I think the last time I remember India being in the World Cup was maybe during the 1970s. And they wanted to play barefoot. They wanted to play without shoes or socks on, with bare feet. But I think FIFA didn't allow them to do that, and they forced them to wear boots. I don't think they did very well. But it's surprising, isn't it, that they wanted to play with bare feet? I imagine that in India that's kind of common way to play football, or it was back in the 70s. What's going on today with the Indian football team? We don't hear about them very much. Anyway, Vibehav says, "Which teams do you think will be in the final?" He says, "Germany, Netherlands, Brazil and France." What, four teams? That would be pretty impressive, to be fair. Imagine that. 44 players, four nations, one final. Only one team can win. What's going to happen? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Like a double final of some crazy chaotic game. I'd like to see that. I think he means that those are the four teams that could be in the final. I'm sure that's what he means. I'm just joking, aren't I? Number two. Which team do you think will win? He says, "I think Netherlands has a fair chance to win the World Cup in 2014. Number three, what's your favourite moment of the World Cup so far? He says, "I think that when Costa Rica qualified for the second round, because before the World Cup, some football experts were saying that Costa Rica didn't deserve to qualify for the World Cup. But they proved that they deserved to be in the World Cup by knocking out Italy and Uruguay." Good point. It was a big surprise, wasn't it, seeing Costa Rica go through. Number four, who's the star player? He says, "I think Thomas Muller, because he's the first player to score a hat-trick in World Cup 2014. True, and we're all watching Muller, expecting more excitement. He hasn't quite delivered it since that hat-trick, but we'll see. It's not over yet. Number six, generally, what do you think of World Cup 2014? He says, "It's great fun to watch the World Cup in my summer holidays after my university exams." Okay, so you've done your exams. Good luck. I hope you get all the results that you want. He says, "Thanks, Luke, for recording this World Cup 2014 podcast series. P.S. You're great, Luke, and you are in my mind." Okay, you get it. You get it. You're one of those proper listeners who listens to everything. Good job. Aritz, the artist, says, "Hi again, Luke and everybody here. I just want to share this article about the essence of football. It's brilliant." And he's shared an article from the New Yorker, which is all about, you know, basically how to enjoy the World Cup. And it's full of some pretty good advice, actually, which I can just paraphrase for you. This is just kind of like how you can enjoy the World Cup. A few tips if you're new to football. It's actually written for American people who don't know that much about football, but it's generally good advice on how you can enjoy football. Here it is in summary. First thing, pick a team. Okay, it's a lot more fun when you have a dog in the race. So pick a team. Okay, either pick one team to go all the way, or when you're watching a match, just pick one team and root for that team. You could root for the underdog, for example. The underdog, that's a nice expression. The underdog is the weaker in a competition. So, for example, Algeria versus Germany yesterday, Algeria were the underdog. And a lot of people were rooting for Algeria just because they were the underdog. Okay, so pick a team. It makes it much more exciting. Next, do the minimal research. You're just 5 minutes away from the internet. So it's worth just going online, looking at the matches, trying to find out a few things about the teams, find out about the key players, even find out what their girlfriends look like, if that's your bag. Just whatever you do, do a little bit of research. It's going to help you enjoy the games a lot more. Of course, just listen to Luke's English podcast. That's another way. He doesn't say that in the article, but anyway. By the way, this article was written by Matt Diffie for The New Yorker, okay? And I'm just reading, I'm paraphrasing some lines from it. Next thing he says, don't be a ball watcher. Okay, so this means that you have to understand the complex way in which football happens on the pitch. And you shouldn't just be following the ball around. You should also be aware of where the other players are on the pitch and the movement of the defenders backwards and forwards, the way that the different players move into different positions and how that opens space or closes up space on the pitch. It's all you got to look not just where the ball is being played, but look at other areas of the pitch to see in which it's all moving and changing. It's like a big chess game with running, okay? Next, he says, enjoy the socio-cultural anthropology of it all. For example, pay attention to the rising and falling of individual and team confidence, the turning of momentum, the clashing of wills. Consider the delicate balance of a team's commitment to offense or defense in terms of risk versus reward. Notice how countries and even continents play the game differently. I find that part endlessly fascinating. And finally, appreciate what's happening. Don't let the wide camera angles lull you into missing the physicality of it. He talks about how it's an incredibly skillful game, and it's not obvious when you watch it on TV from a distance that it involves an incredible amount of detailed skill. So, for example, we might take it for granted that the players can just kick the ball anywhere they want on the pitch. They can do all kinds of things with the ball. They can control the ball as it's after it's been kicked all the way across the pitch. They can control it with one touch. It might not be obvious to us when we're watching it on TV, but it's an incredibly skillful game. And it's amazing what these guys do. I mean, the talent that we're watching on the pitch is stunning. So we have to remember that. We have to enjoy watching this incredible circus of skill. So there you go. That's like a summary of that article from The New Yorker, which was shared by Aritz there. Thanks for that. All right, let's see. We've got a few more comments, so I'm going to need to just step it up a little bit. Let's see. We have Elena from Russia. She says, hi, Luke. I can't say for sure who's going to win the World Cup, because who knew that Spain would crash out after only two games? Personally, I thought they would win. It's getting more and more unpredictable, and I really like it. I'm from Russia, and I'm already happy that our team is participating in the World Cup after a 12-year absence. Yaron says, hi, Luke. I don't have any news regarding your questions since the last episode. I still support Germany, and I still think and hope that the Germans will win the tournament. Firstly, I'm sorry that England's team is out. I think, as you said, although England lost, the English played pretty well, even better than the Uruguayans. In fact, this is one of those annoying things about football. A lot of the time, the statistic is lying. Like in this game, if you check the statistics of England versus Uruguay, then you've found that England had better numbers, more total shots, more shots on target, less fouls, and better possession. However, at the end of the day, England lost. But on the other hand, there's some magic in football, isn't there? Yes, there is. I'm not completely sure I agree with you on that, Yaron. I know what you're saying, that the result doesn't necessarily represent what happened in the game. And a team might have all the possession, they might have lots of shots on target, but ultimately they don't win. But really, it's about goals, isn't it, football? And people often say things like, oh, well, they deserved to win. Well, if a team deserved to win, then they would have won, wouldn't they? Because ultimately, it's all about scoring goals. You've got to if it's no good having a shot on target, it has to beat the keeper, you know? And if a shot doesn't beat the keeper, the shot wasn't good enough. So you deserve to score goals if you score them. You know what I mean? Yeah, anyway, he says, secondly, I'd like to ask you, Luke, if I may, does the fact that England didn't pass the group stage make you less interested in the World Cup? Do you support another team? Do you have any favour to France because you currently live in France? By the way, the French had a great match versus Switzerland. Good question. I think, to be honest, my interest did drop a little bit after England went out, but not too much. And I'm still well into the competition. In fact, in a way, I'm not that upset that England are out, because it just means I can enjoy the World Cup without having to feel uncomfortable and stressed out about it. I can actually relax and just enjoy the competition now. When England are in, I just feel it's just too much tension and too much heartbreak. So, you know, fine. England are out. Fine. Good riddance. Now I can just enjoy the World Cup without feeling bad about it, you know? Am I supporting France? Well, yeah, I am supporting France. Because since I'm living in France, I'm paying tax in France, I've got an interest in the French team. And also, you know, a lot of people around me are very excited about the games. Obviously, I'm not quite as passionate about the French team as the French people around me are. But since I'm here, it's good to be caught up in the excitement. So I do have an interest in the French team. And they did play very well against Switzerland. It's good to see, to be honest, it's good to see the French team sort of behaving properly. Last time it was an embarrassment for everybody, because the team was full of prima donnas who all went on strike in the middle of the World Cup, which is a ridiculous thing to do. I mean, it's an incredibly selfish act to go on strike when the whole nation is rooting for you. How dare they go on strike? I mean, it's pathetic. What did they expect? What was so unreasonable? How were they being treated so badly that they had to go on strike? I mean, really. So it's very good to see the French team operating as a team. They've got a good attitude. They're not complaining or being prima donnas or anything. Good. So, I mean, that is one of the reasons why I'm supporting France as well, because they seem to have the right attitude. And I think that's important. And it's nice to see. So, yeah, I'm supporting France. But I'm also supporting other teams too. I just want to see teams play fairly. I want to see them play with enthusiasm and with spirit and with skill. And that's what I'm looking for in a game. What I hate is cynical cheating tactics, diving, jumping around on the diving on the floor, crying and holding your hands to your face when someone sneezed on your elbow or something. I mean, come on, it's absolutely pathetic. And players who dive and play act should know better. They're grown men and they're rolling around on the floor like children. It's absolutely pathetic. So I can't stand that kind of behavior. It really annoys me, as you can see, particularly when you cheat in order to gain advantage. It's just not on. So diving on the floor, winning penalties, those players should feel ashamed of themselves. Don't you think? Anyway, let's see. Last thing, I would like to answer your last question. The World Cup until now is far beyond my expectation. Most of the matches are very interesting. In terms of my personal view, the second half of Germany-Ghana was very exciting. At some points, I thought that the Ghanaians were going to win. But at the end of the day, Closer managed to score his 15th goal in the World Cup so far. 15th goal in the World... Oh, in any World Cup, you mean. The tie the game at 2-2. In addition, I think that this particular match was a good example of the difficulties that European teams have in a warm climate, since the Germans looked 50% of what they are actually capable of. In addition, up to now, in the Germans group, everything is still open, and I'm really concerned that Germany might end up like Spain and England, since, theoretically, it still might happen. Don't worry, you're through. You're good. If Spain didn't pass the group stage, with due respect to England, then no team is safe. That's it. I plan to write a short comment. However, it turned into a longer one. Thank you for reading out our comments. Yaron from Israel. You're welcome, Yaron. Alexander comes back and he says, following my previous comments, it seems that I'm always complaining in my comments. But that's the way it is. I would like to tell you about three things that really, really annoy me in this World Cup and in football in general. Number one, referees. Unskilled, blindness, law violation, bribery, whatever you call that. It seems in some games that guys are able to sell rifles, heroin, human organs on the football pitch. We have to punish them somehow, if they deserve it, of course. Cut their fingers, or at least pay them a lower salary. I think paying them a low salary would be the more reasonable option. I mean, punish the mistakes somehow, because sometimes referees cause fans broken hearts. Okay, I see what you mean. I see what you mean, Alexander. You're saying that we should punish the referees. I don't think you really mean that we should cut their fingers off. It's a little bit harsh, isn't it? I'm sure you're joking. You're saying that the referees are incompetent and possibly even corrupt. And he gives examples like, you know, the Hand of God incident with Thierry Henry scoring against Ireland with his hand and so on. Okay, I'm sure that sometimes referees should be held responsible for terrible decisions or biased decisions and things like that. But I also think that it's probably very difficult to be the referee. You know, because they have to make very, very close, difficult decisions. There's only one guy. He's supported by his linesman. But the referee has a lot of pressure on his shoulders. He only gets to see an event once. Sometimes he might not have a perfect view of it, depending on where he is in the pitch. He has to do a lot of running. He's got to run for 90 minutes, just like the football players, in the difficult conditions and so on. So it must be pretty difficult to make the right decision every single time, especially when all the players are harassing the referee, you know, like lobbying him, shouting at him, negotiating with him. It must be very, very difficult to keep your head and make the right decision at every moment. I wonder if often these are just mistakes rather than biased or corrupt decisions. But who knows, you know? I'm just saying that it must be very difficult for the referees. Perhaps what we should be doing is introducing more, you know, technology to support the referees. Because ultimately, if the players know that they're being videoed and that there is a video judge somewhere in the stadium, who's going to support the referee? I think that's going to help, isn't it? I mean, that's going to stop the players from trying to lobby the referee, because ultimately there's some objective sense of what's actually happened on the pitch. It's not just the referee on his own. I think the referee should be supported more by technology. The goal line technology, for example, has helped a lot. This vanishing spray has definitely helped. Just little additions like that can help to keep these footballers in check and to allow the referees to make the right decisions. But also, yes, maybe the referees should be punished more harshly if they make biased decisions and things like that. Anyway, I respect your opinion. Next, number two, wasting time and adding time. Just make a clear time, like in basketball or handball. If the ball is out, time stops. It's easy to do, technically, I think, and there'll be less cheaters. There'll be fewer cheaters, fake injuries or something like that. Yes, I think we should introduce more technology to try and cut out cheating on the football pitch. Number three, divers or ballet dancers. You probably get what I mean. Special hi to Cristiano Ronaldo from me. For obvious simulation, faking and diving, I suggest a direct red card. In the future, players will think twice about diving or not. Well, you know how I feel about diving. I think it's just pathetic. And it in a way, it spoils the game when these players flop over. I mean, I was watching, what was it, Brazil versus Chile at the weekend. And, I mean, great teams with great skill. But I couldn't help getting frustrated, because every 5 minutes someone was rolling around on the floor. You know? I mean, are these guys grown men, or are they little, you know, little kids? I mean, it's really silly. He says, I remember how Oleg Luzhny, a Dynamo Kiev captain in the late 90s and a player for Arsenal in London in the early 2000s, a kind of Ukrainian Chuck Norris. I remember how he played a second half with a broken toe in the Champions League because there weren't any more substitutions. Nowadays, unfortunately, we have fewer and fewer players like him. I mean, real men. And football has become more girly. That guys are kind of role model for young people. Edgar Davids, Paolo Maldini, Steven Gerrard, Javier Yannetti, Zinedine Zidane. I hope you get it. So what you're saying is that the players are not sort of strong enough or tough enough, and they are role models, and they're not kind of giving the right impression. They're not impression for young people to live up to. Instead, they're encouraging young people to cheat and to act in a cowardly way, a cowardly and deceitful kind of way. I agree with that. I don't think that that's necessarily girly. I think it's not necessarily girly to cheat and dive. I mean, I don't think women do that any more than men, maybe even less. But I know what you mean. You're just saying it's not sort of not really manly enough. I mean, they don't behave in a strong way. I agree with that. P.S. I had luck to see Stuart Pearce on the football pitch live in the season 97-98 in Kiev. Stuart Pearce, one of my all-time favourite players. They called him Psycho. I talked about him in one of the episodes. I think it was part two of this World Cup series. He said, actually, a team from Ukraine got first place in a group with Barcelona, Newcastle United and PSV Eindhoven. He was an incredible player. I wish you the best personally, Luke, and all of your listeners in the world. Thank you for your attention, number two, Alexander from Ukraine and Denmark. Thank you, too, Alexander. Next, we have Jill Marnie. And Jill Marnie says, question number one, which teams will be in the final? Brazil, France and Netherlands. Number two, which team will win? Netherlands. Number three, what's your favourite moment of the World Cup so far? Nothing yet. Okay. Number four, who's the star player of this World Cup, in your opinion? No answer. All right. Number five, which country are you from or supporting and how's their performance? He says, I'm from Kuwait and I support Algeria, of course. I think most Arabs support Algeria as well. Ah, okay. Generally, what do you think of World Cup 2014? He said, I'm not so excited about it. I don't know why. Okay, thanks, Jill Marnie. Thanks for your comments. I'm interested in the fact that most Arabs support Algeria. They played Germany last night, and it was a very close game. And I have to say, I was very impressed by Algeria. Algeria were brilliant. I mean, they played with such spirit, such kind of confidence and bravery, and they didn't dive too much. I was really impressed with Algeria, and just something in the way that they played really caught my sort of attention, and I was with them. I have to say, I was with them. It was an amazing game. Germany ultimately were victorious. I think their class came through, their strength in the end was what helped them, because they managed to stay strong all the way through the game, all the way through to the crucial last 10 minutes where they scored two goals. But Algeria were close. I mean, they scored a goal as well at the end of the game. It was really impressive. Okay, thanks for your comment, Jill Marnie. Next is Pan from China. Hello, Pan. Hi, Luke. This is Pan from China. I started listening to your podcast since your swear word episode, which was amazing and my favourite episode. Yeah, it was, wasn't it? It was fucking brilliant, that episode. Anyway, let's get back to those questions. Which teams do you think will win? He says, I think, which teams will be in the final? He says, Germany and Brazil. The winner? Hard to say, since both Germany and Brazil are top teams. Favourite moment? As an Asian, I would say Algeria's sudden kill of Korea in 2 minutes with two goals is the best and worst since that I would like to see. You mean you'd like to see Korea go through? Not a bit confused by that. Generally, what do you think of World Cup 2014? He says, it's sad but common that China doesn't go to the World Cup. We just watch for fun and women watch for handsome players. Men watch for the matches. So I think that Brazil World Cup is good, and it's normal every time there's a dark horse and unexpected knockouts. Thank you for reading my writing. Cheers. Thanks for the comment from China. Don't get many of them. That's lovely. There's like how many billion Chinese people? Anyway, Yosef says, hi. Oh, I need to hurry up. Okay. Yosef says, hi. In my opinion, for sure, Brazil will be in the final match. But which team they'll play against is the mystery. I'm really disappointed by the referees this year. Their mistakes have changed the results of different games, and it's not fair at all. There are some teams that have performed better than expectations. They've played wonderfully. Also, African teams are great, and they have agile and powerful players. One positive point about this championship is the number of goals. Right now I'm waiting for the Italy and Uruguay match that will start in 15 minutes. It could be a wonderful match. Have fun. Sabine says, hi Luke and so many of the others. I also want to tell you that I'm really, really sorry that England couldn't at least make it to the quarterfinals. I really would have loved to see a match between England and Germany. I'm from Germany and nobody likes us much anyway. But when it comes to football, it's getting even worse, isn't it? Well, someday you simply learn to live with it. Yeah, that is interesting, Sabine. It seems that Germany are the team that everyone loves to hate. But not entirely. And as you may have noticed, lots of people actually like Germany in this comments forum. But I was watching, as I said, the Germany-Algeria game yesterday. And lots of people in the stadium were whistling and booing whenever Germany got the ball. You know, they were whistling and booing whenever the German team got the ball. Maybe it's just because Germany are a strong team and naturally people support the underdog. So in the case of Germany, Algeria, lots of people supported Algeria because Algeria being the weaker team were the underdog. So, you know, don't take it too personally. In fact, it just shows you that Germany are a strong team. That's why people tend to go for the other team. You know, it's just human nature. Number one, which teams do you think will be in the final? She says, in 1974, I was 10 years old, and I still remember the World Cup as overwhelmingly exciting. And I'd like to see a final between Germany and the Netherlands again. Winning team? She says, I'm afraid this time it's the Netherlands, though I'd like to see the Germans win, of course. In the end, I could live with any winner, as long as it's not the USA. They don't even know the right name of the game we're playing here. Favourite moment? She says, I always like it when Cristiano Ronaldo cries. But my real favourite moment, if you can call that a moment, was the second half of the match between Ghana and Germany. It was the first time in years that I saw the Germans play so passionately. Number four, who's the star player of this World Cup in your opinion? She says the Mexican goalkeeper Guillermo Ochoa. Yes, I agree. Although the Algerian goalkeeper yesterday was also absolutely phenomenal. He made some fantastic saves. I do love watching a good goalkeeper in action. Number five, which country are you from or supporting? She says, I obviously support Germany, but I like England, Japan and the Netherlands as well. And this year, I'm quite impressed by Costa Rica's performance. Generally, she says, to be honest, it doesn't get me. The World Cup doesn't get me as much as it did in the previous years so far. Maybe it's because I'm not able to watch any matches. Maybe it's because I'm not able to watch as many matches as I like. Maybe it's because this time the groups are strange somehow. I don't know. Well, I'm sure you're going to get more interested as the competition continues, Sabine. She then comes back with another message and says, hi, Luke, it's me again. Of course. Yesterday, I wasn't able to finish my post for some reason. I wanted to write a kind of uplifting last sentence, but I couldn't edit my post anymore. When it comes to terms used on the internet, by the way, I'm always afraid of falling for false friends. Post, for instance, do I use it correctly or is it posting? Or is it one of those just some stupid German word that tries to sound technical? On the internet, on a blog or a website, you'd call it a post, okay? A post. So there you go. It's a post. So in the forum, you write a post, not a posting. All right. However, in the meantime, I found out that it seems that I was totally wrong about everybody out there hating us when it comes to football. I listened to episode 189 of your podcast on the train this morning, and I was really surprised to hear how many supporters we seem to have all over the world. I'm wearing flag socks today, and I'm kind of optimistic about the match, but there is still a chance that everybody goes wrong and our boys will shamefully sit on a plane home after tonight's dinner. I really hope you're not completely fed up with the World Cup now. Thank you very much for explaining the world of football to all of us. I simply love the way you managed to put the light aspects and the serious aspects of a topic together in one sentence, so we can all see that each thing in life has got more than one side. Chin up, Sabine. Thanks, Sabine. I think you did manage to end with an uplifting sentence. That's lovely. P.S. For 3 or 4 days now, I'm singing Three Lions to myself all the time. One of the older versions, I think. It's the second one I know the lyrics of. So she's been singing that song. Three lions on the shirt, remember? Guillaume S. has written, I would say, goal! Hop Swiss! Okay, so he must have been watching the Switzerland game, because Switzerland must have scored a goal. Hop Swiss, I think this is a way of saying, go Switzerland! Now, at this point in the timeline, Luis Suarez bit an Italian player during the Uruguay-Italy game, which Uruguay won. He actually bit a player on the shoulder with his teeth. Now, this is a big controversy, as it's more than just an illegal foul, but an assault, an actual physical assault beyond the normal physical roughness of the game. The British press covered the story a lot, calling for Suarez to be punished. Some papers in Uruguay said it was a conspiracy by the English press and that Suarez is not guilty. Suarez has since admitted that he did it. He admitted it today. And this is the third time he's done this. It's the third time he's bitten someone in a football match. And Suarez now faces a 4-month ban from professional football, which is going to cause him all kinds of problems. And his club Liverpool must now be thinking of selling him. So the Luis Suarez biting incidents occurred at this point in the thread. And we have Alexander saying, although I've been supporting Liverpool FC since 1996, I have to admit that Luis Suarez needs professional psychiatric help. Three times in three different competitions. First, it was in Ajax, then in Liverpool, now in the national team. It's becoming a habit. Something's definitely wrong in his head. Yaron says, wow, the Suarez bite saga. I heard some arguments in his favour. For instance, arguments like that his bites are not worse than a hard intention tackle. I totally disagree with those arguments. Tackles are part of the game, while bites are not so not related to football. Yeah, it's true. A tackle is just a normal part of the game, but biting someone, that's completely outside the normal run of the game, isn't it? So even if a hard tackle might be more dangerous, in my opinion, it's still in the grey area. While bites are totally forbidden, there is no excuse for such behaviour. Yaron from Israel. Thanks for that comment, Yaron. And thanks for your donation after the last one. I dropped a large hint, didn't I? I said, donation, something like that. And you did. And apparently you'd been meaning to donate to me for some time. Can I just say at this point, if there is anyone listening to Luke's English podcast who has been thinking of leaving a donation, that's very nice. It's very nice of you to think like that, but it would be even nicer if you actually did it. Remember, I'm doing this for free. I don't need to go into the reasons, but if you do appreciate the podcast and you like what I do and you want me to continue doing it, then do consider leaving a donation. You can do it on the website. Just go to the website. You'll find a button that says donate. Click it. It's very simple. You can do it with PayPal. You can donate as little or as much as you like. Typically, it's about £5 or £10, but you don't have to do that. You can do less. You can do more. Up to you. But I appreciate it a lot. It doesn't happen very often, I have to say. You might think, oh, I bet everyone donates. No, they don't. It's a tiny percentage of people. So do consider a donation. That would be very nice. And thank you, Yaron, for yours. I appreciate it very much. That is actually the last comment in this particular thread. And my closing comment was, "Hi everyone, thanks for your comments. This thread is now closed because I think I have enough comments for an episode. You can expect the next World Cup podcast this week sometime. I'm now going to open World Cup comments thread number 3, so you can leave any other comments that you have there." And that's true. World Cup comments thread number 3 is now open on teacherluke.co.uk, and I welcome you to add your comments there as this World Cup continues and more things happen. Tell me what you think, and I'll do probably one more of these. I think I'll leave comments thread number 3 open until the end of this. And I'll record something as soon as I can. As I've said, the timing is a little bit complicated. I probably will do the last one before the final, I expect. So leave me your comments and you will be featured on Luke's English Podcast. All right, that's it. This is too long now. This is an hour and 20 minutes. I hope you're still listening. If you are, well done. You're brilliant. You're one of those super special, extra brilliant podcast listeners who listens all the way to the end to get every single bit of juice from these episodes. If you're not into football normally, then well done for getting through this. Although, football's pretty interesting, it is. I mean, you might get annoyed with it for some reason. Maybe some people that you know are into football and you don't see the attraction. But it can be fun, even just for a few weeks every 4 years. It's quite fun to get into football and then you just forget about it again for a while. Anyway, whatever the case is, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your preferences are, I hope that you're enjoying Luke's English Podcast, and there'll be more stuff coming up in the near future. Let's continue enjoying this World Cup, and it's continuing to be brilliant, isn't it? I actually, there's a game in progress right now. It's Argentina versus Switzerland, and I want to see what's going on in this game. What are the results? Okay, I'm going to need to check. Argentina, Switzerland. Oh, okay. All right. Oh, I see. It's actually 6 p.m. this evening. So there was a time difference. It's not actually going on at the moment. It's now 2 o'clock where I'm recording this, so I'm going to have to wait 4 hours for that. But I'll be checking it out on TV if I have the chance. All right. Good. Thanks for listening to the episode. Speak to you again very, very, very soon. But for now, it's goodbye. Bye. 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 Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.